Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Route Mobile Limited, arranged by ICICI Securities and Concept Investor Relations to discuss its Q2 FY23 results. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of the presentation for the disclaimer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniket Pande, Lead Technology Analyst at ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Hello, everyone. Wishing everyone happy Diwali and a happy weekend ahead. Thank you to the management of Route Mobile for giving us the opportunity to host you for your Q2 FY23 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Rajdip Kumar Gupta, Managing Director and Group CEO, Mr. Gautam Badalia, Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Suresh Jankar, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rajdip Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aniket. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of entire RML team, I would like to wish you all a very happy Diwali in advance. I'm happy to announce that with another solid quarterly performance in Q2 FY23, we marked six consecutive quarters of sequential revenue and adjusted PAT growth. This is despite the geopolitical tensions, massive volatility across various currencies, and various other uncertainties that we all are grappling with. The underlying strength in the business continues to be robust, and we are optimistic of inching close to 60% YoY revenue growth in FY23. Fueled by our resilient platform, deep domain expertise, and highly capable Route Mobile team spread across 20 global locations, we are winning quality deals worldwide. The quarter gone by was, in fact, our best quarterly revenue and operating profit to date. Some of our key business highlights of Q2 FY23 are as follows. RML secured a preferential partnership deal with Telenor Group for five countries, which is Finland, Malaysia, Thailand, Pakistan, and Myanmar. We were again recognized as a representative vendor in the latest Gartner report. As part of our capital allocation strategy, we completed INR 120 crore buyback through the open market route in Q2 FY23. Further, based on our superlative performance in H1 FY23, I am pleased to inform you that our board of directors has approved an interim dividend of 30%, that is INR 3 per share. Regarding our organic strategy, we continue to focus on key markets like India, GCC, LATAM, and Africa. We have already started reaping the benefit of our investment in LATAM, and early trend looks very promising. In terms of our inorganic strategy, the team is focused on integrating all the acquisitions we have done and derived synergies. We may look at few tuck-in investments in coming days, and we'll try to complete all these acquisitions which we have done recently. With this, Gautam will walk you through our financial highlights in greater detail. Over to you, Gautam.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajdip. Good evening, everyone. Wishing all of you a very happy and prosperous Diwali. We have already uploaded our quarterly earnings presentation on our website as well as on the stock exchange website. Hope you had a chance to go through the presentation. I'll quickly summarize our financial and operating performance during the quarter Q2 FY23 and H1 FY23 before opening the floor for Q&A. As Rajdip highlighted, the quarter gone by has been an outstanding quarter considering the seasonality of our business. Further, our business has yet again demonstrated strong resilience despite global headwinds, inflationary pressure, geopolitical turmoil, energy crisis, and rising interest rates. The strong foundation, coupled with multiple engines of growth, has been our secret sauce for demonstrating six consecutive quarters of sequential revenue and adjusted profit growth, as highlighted in slide 19 of the presentation. In volume terms, we have processed around 27 billion transactions in Q2 FY23, which is again the highest quarterly billable volumes processed by us till date. In terms of geography, India continues to be one of our largest markets by termination, accounting for 47% of our revenue by termination. You may refer to slide 6 for the same. We continue to increase our market share in India and are on track to surpass our guidance of US$175 million revenue coming from India in FY23. In terms of our investments in Masivian over the last few quarters, the early trends, as Rajdeep highlighted, looks very promising. Masivian clocked 21% sequential revenue growth in Q2 FY23, coupled with margin expansion. We continue to witness very strong momentum on the next generation products, YOY growth of 116%. One may refer to slide 21 of the presentation. In terms of cash conversion, the cash conversion for this period was slightly muted, largely because of three factors. A large PSU bank mandated the collection of our overdue receivables through the government e-marketplace portal, which is called the GeM portal. The integration process with GeM portal led to overdue receivable remaining outstanding as on September 30, 2022. Further, some of our large global CPaaS customers have been taking slightly longer than their stipulated payment cycle, owing to the headwinds mentioned above. In terms of payables, there was a slight reduction in terms of the days payables because we settled an outstanding invoice with a large MNO in lieu of some additional discount. With this backdrop, let me walk you through our financial performance. In terms of Q2 FY23 performance, revenue from operations grew by 94% from INR 4357 million in Q2 FY22 to 8458 million in Q2 FY23. There was a sequential growth of 16%. Billable transactions increased from 10.8 billion in Q2 FY22 to around 24.8 billion in Q1 FY23 to 26.9 billion in Q2 FY23. Average realization per billable transaction increased from 0.294 paisa in Q1 FY23 to 0.314 paisa in Q2 FY23. Gross profit margin expanded from 21.2% in Q2 FY23 to 22.3% in Q2 FY23. EBITDA grew by 77% from 617 million in Q2 FY22 to 1094 million in Q2 FY23. There was a sequential growth of 27% in EBITDA as well. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 11.7%, owing to some deferred tax credit that we had. EBITDA margin expanded from 11.8% in Q1 FY23 to 12.9% in Q2 FY23. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 103% from 454 million in Q2 FY22 to 921 million in Q2 FY23 as compared to 872 million in Q1 FY23. Adjusted PAT margin was 10.9% in Q2 FY23. For H1 FY23, revenue from operations grew by 94% from 8,132 million in H1 FY22 to 15749 million in H1 FY23. In terms of certain KPIs, billable transactions increased from 18 billion in H1 FY22 to 52 billion in H1 FY23. We had a staggering net revenue retention of 128%. You may refer to slide 17 of the earnings presentation. We added over 350 new customers in the 6 months. Across all products, gross profit margin expanded from 20.8% in H1 FY22 to 22.4% in H1 FY23. EBITDA grew by 76% from 1108 million in H1 FY22 to 1954 million in H1 FY23. In terms of operating leverage, EBITDA as a percentage of gross profit stood at 56% for the 6 month period. EBITDA margin contracted from 13.6% in H1 FY22 to 12.4% in H1 FY23. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 116% from 831 million in H1 FY22 to 1793 million in H1 FY23. Adjusted PAT margin improved from 10.2% to 11.4% for the same period. Net cash as on September 30, 2022 was 8062 million. Average receivable days increased from 57 days in FY22 to 65 days in H1 FY23, and average payable days decreased from 86 days in FY22 to 68 days in H1 FY23, owing to reasons mentioned or highlighted above. Cash flow from operations was 240 million in H1 FY22. Cash outflow relating to investing activities was rupees 410 million towards the payment of purchase consideration of 118 million. And the split of that amount was essentially deferred payout for the email platform and advance to T-Ledgers. And there was a capex of 333 million. Cash outflow from financing activities was 1604 million, primarily due to buyback of 1492 million, which includes tax. We onboarded 142 new employees during the 6 months period, and 146 employees resigned during the same period. With this, we open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Aniket Pandey from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, hi. Congrats to the Root management team on a great performance on all metrics. I just had a couple of questions. First, wanted to understand what led to such a strong revenue growth in this quarter. And now your guidance of 60% looks quite modest. Any specific macro reason for that?
Aniket, hi, Razip here. See, I think as we, I've already mentioned in past also, Root Mobile is a global company operating from 20 different global destinations, and we have termination all across the globe. We have signed a few large OTT players in last quarter, a few quarters. In fact, we were working very closely with them to increase their termination in various other countries. Initially, when we onboarded those customers, they were using one or two countries. Now, these customers are using more than 13 to 14 countries. And that is the kind of potential we carry with every single customer which we onboard on our portfolio, that we can at least offer them more than 200 countries if they want to terminate messages through us. And I think one of the reason our revenue and I think volume is increasing because based on our close working with the OTT players as well as the, some of the large banking customers started sending traffic with us in last quarter, and the same trend is going to continue for the coming quarters as well.
Thank you. And my second question, your EBITDA margin has expanded quite massively in this quarter. If you could walk us through the headwinds and tailwinds on the margins and also your margin aspiration in coming years?
Pankaj, we have always talked about our aspiration to increase our margin in coming quarters because we believe that the omni-channel adoption is going to increase in more and more in coming quarters or years to come. We are at very early stage of adoption all across the globe, not only in India. As we speak, if you see our new revenue, revenue coming from newest technologies is increasing per quarter around 15 to 16%. And we at the current run rate almost are doing almost about 30 to 36 crore. If you just do on an annual basis, we are already there with 150 crore run rate. So I think as on when this new line of communication, the new channels will get adopted more by our customer, our revenue, the margin guidance will definitely increase more and more. And we believe that I think all this channel of communication has a much higher gross margin as compared to messaging. And that is exactly where we as a company focus. And there is one slide we have also presented in our presentation. I think the kind of customer we are onboarding, not just from India, but various part of the world on our new channel of communication. Gautam, if you just want to add anything to this.
Yeah. So, Aniket, I mean, to just address some of, both the points, right? So, I think besides what Razi just highlighted, there was an ILD price increase that had happened, which was always, that is very positive, whenever there is a price increase by telco, because ours is a pass-through. The other thing is, besides the new products contribution, that's definitely continuing to show good momentum. I think some of our acquired entities like Masivian, they have started to now do really well. I mean, we had invested over the last few quarters to expand their team, and they have some seasonality aspects. And now I think they are getting into the phase of the year which are the best for them. And we have seen tremendous improvement in their margins as well. So going forward, I think we have already called out. We are talking about 100 to 150 basis points improvement in our EBITDA margin for the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is again, you know, the bit on the margin. You talked about around 11.5% EBITDA margin, which is 150 basis points higher than what was, you know, the Q4 margin. But if I look at your H1 performance, it is, you know, closer to 12%. So what, you know, is making you conservative in terms of the margin guidance or you know, you are just keeping it conservative and, you know, there is a possibility that you might overachieve it. Go on.
So it's better to be conservative and overachieve, you know, that's what I believe.
Achha. But I mean, technically, we should not be seeing any headwinds on the cost side for the next. I mean, are there anything which, you know, you want to call out that in the next quarters maybe? Because what I was expecting is, you know, it's not that the gross margin led expansion is there. This margin expansion is because of the operating leverage coming through. And in the coming quarters, because those are H2 is seasonally stronger, we should see even more operating leverage or you do expect some more investment to happen in H2.
Pranav, I think I as a CEO of a company would love to have more visibility of company in a various global market where we are operating now. And I think if you see from last one or two quarter, we are going very aggressive on attending a lot of conferences. I think that we need to spend some kind of marketing stuff as well, because I think marketing is also one area for spend where we have capped our marketing budget, but definitely there will be a cost in coming quarters, especially on marketing side.
Sure. And in terms of the revenue, I mean, you talked about scaling up of the certain OTT, but, you know, can you give a little more granular color? I mean, if I look at the spurt in the revenue compared to Q1, what is contributing? Is the standalone Route Mobile growth is what is contributing bulk of it? Mr. Messaging is contributing, Masivian is contributing. What exactly is driving the growth?
So I think we have the numbers. I request Gautam to just share the number, Gautam, if you can, if you have the numbers.
Sure. So Pranav, hi Pranav. So the growth has been there across all the entities. In terms of organic growth, I think we have demonstrated over 20% growth on a sequential basis. I mean, as I said, Masivian also had demonstrated that kind of growth. So we've seen it across the board. I think we are now inching into supposedly one of our best quarters historically, Q3. So hopefully, I think that operating leverage will definitely play out. Plus, there is some degree of optionality. I'm just trying to call that out as well, which may kind of lead to further surprises in terms of margin expansion. Essentially, a lot of the cost, we've been very conservative in terms of front-loading it. So some of that, I think, may, in due course, work out favorably for us. We'll just wait and watch some of those aspects, but there is some degree of optionality also there into the margin expansion.
Sure. Just one last question from my side. There seems to be a fair bit of investment on the working capital side. Should we expect this to reverse or how should we see this or this investment will continue since you are going so fast in the second half of the year?
Yeah, so I think we're growing at breakneck speed, so it will definitely warrant some amount of working capital. But having said that, there were a few cases. I just had called it out that I think this Gem Portal thing, it was kind of something which caught us on the wrong foot, and hence some amount of working capital got blocked there. Now those things are all streamlined, so hopefully going forward we'll not have issues with any working capital issues with respect to the GeM portal stuff. And for some additional price discount, I mean we also kind of settled one of the large MNO outstanding. So some of these things, I mean, are more tactical, more strategical moves that we've taken, and that will augur well for us, I mean, in terms of the overall margin expansion.
Sure. Thank you, Gautam, Rajiv, and the entire Route Mobile team. We wish you a very, very happy Deepavali. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Prayan. Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit their questions to 2 per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, I have one question. In your cash flow, there is 83 crores being deployed in other financial assets and other assets. That's before operating cash flow. So what is this 83 crores?
No, so a large part of that, so about 64 crores out of that, is the unbilled revenue. Essentially, I mean, the service is being rendered, but we were not able to invoice it because...
Okay.
So that is a part of the receivables. So that should be construed as part of the accounts receivables.
And in your balance sheet, so there are two areas, right? So there is an area which is more longer term financial assets, other financial assets where there is an increase, and there is a part in the current assets. So I can understand the unbillable part in the current asset. Or is there an unbillable part even in the longer term financial assets?
No, so unbilled revenue.
Unbilled revenue will be a part of your current
financial assets. Unbilled revenue is part of the financial assets.
Yes, there are two financial assets. Okay, there are two financial. One is long term in nature, one is short term in nature in your balance sheet. One is a part of your current asset. Within current assets, you have other financial assets. And then there are longer assets where also you have a financial asset. Do you have your balance sheet?
So the other non-current financial assets, a large part of that essentially is the fixed deposits having maturity of more than 12 months.
That is the other financial asset.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Other non-current financial assets.
Other non-current financial assets. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So which means that this 50 crore is cash generation in any case. Whereas around 40 crores have gone because of unbillable being
unbilled
part of the balance.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Bhandari from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Rajiv and Gautam, I just have one simple question. Longer term in a business like yours, what should be the CFO to EBITDA ratio? I was under the impression that, you know, the kind of business what we have, you know, typically a working capital cycle should be very small. So is the business, is the industry undergoing through a change? And what is the sustainable number here from a medium term perspective?
Hi. So I think on a sustainable basis, I think we should be able to achieve a 50 to 75% conversion. As part of our guidance, we have called that out as well. There were certain one-offs in this. Hopefully, I think that should get course corrected once we report the full year number.
So you mean to say there's no change in the billing method or the payment terms from the clients?
No change in the billing method per se.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manik Taneja from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Opportunity. I just wanted to understand, given the increasing share of our global business and some of these acquired businesses have higher margin profiles than they are, why are we not seeing an impact even in terms of gross margin expansion? And secondly, just to prod you a little bit further on the weak cash generation. If you could help us understand parts to government and yeah.
So Manik, let me just question, and then Gautam, you can add. So Malik, you need to also understand the various geographic presence we have. Like if you go to Africa, you know, there would be a very different cross margin game. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to Asia or go to Latin America, it's a totally different market. So I think the overall, when we console our balance sheet, I think what that's exactly what we're presenting. Gautam, you can just answer this.
So Manik, honestly, I think there was some issue with the voice quality. If you can just repeat your queries, I just missed some like parts of it.
So the first question was with regards to the gross margin performance. While we are continuing to see derive a higher share of revenues from international geographies, and some of the acquired businesses have higher gross margin profile
as per the data we have provided. Fair enough. So yeah, so I'll address this first. I think Rajdeep highlighted the key aspect. I'll just add to what he said. So some of the large OTT players, right, because of the size and scale and the rate at which they grow, there are some volume-based discounts, which essentially leads to kind of a drag on the overall portfolio gross margin. But that is then adequately compensated by the new products and some of the acquisitions that we have done, which are at higher gross margins. So that's the way to kind of look at it. From our perspective, if you were to look at it, some of these large OTTs, if you are able to service them in multiple geographies, the serviceability of some of these accounts doesn't warrant significant operating costs. So there is tremendous operating leverage that kicks in, and hence it leads to higher ROCE.
Sure. And the second question was with regards to the cash generation. If you could help us understand what's changed with regards to the government procurement.
Yeah, so I think this is for this large PSU bank that we were providing the services. At the very last moment, I mean, we were told that the entire billing has to be routed through the government e-marketplace portal, which is the GEM portal. So we had to get ourselves integrated. That process is again kind of a process which warrants a little bit of time because we're doing it for the first time. So some part of that bank's quarterly revenue, I mean, a large part of that was stuck as it had to be settled through the GEM portal. But now those things have been streamlined. We are already integrated. We've already received the payments for this particular bank in the subsequently.
So should we expect an improvement in cash flow in CQ itself?
Yes.
Okay. And one last one from my end. Basically, the industry as a whole has seen significant increase in R&D pricing over the course of last 24 months. How are we seeing both the pricing both on NLD and ILD volumes if I have to think about the next 12 months?
So Manik, hi, Rajdeep here. So for us, this is pass-through prices, right? So definitely we did see some kind of a volume dip, but based on the price increase, I think it is just a pass-through for us. And I don't see there is any impact going to... In fact, we are going to gain more out of that rather than any impact.
Sure. But Rajdeep, do you think we could probably be seeing a situation where even ILD prices increases?
It all depends on the operator, Manik, because I deal with some thousands of operators weekly, and there are different operators have a different aspiration, you know, like, and they, I think definitely most of the operators believe that the SMS is one of the, you know, like, big thing for them, and I think most of them are trying to increase prices all across the globe. You never know, but I can't comment on their behalf, but probably they may be.
Sure. Thank you, all the best in the future.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dipesh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for strong execution. A couple of questions from my side. First, about the data related question, can you help us with the performance of
the record? Your audio is a bit muffled. If you're on a speaker,
can you hear?
To handset.
Is it better now?
Management.
Dipesh, if you can be a little louder, please.
Yeah, can you help me with the acquired entity performance this quarter? If you can give revenue run rate of Massivy and MRM. Second question is about EBITDA margin expansion optionality. I think Gautam earlier alluded to. I was a bit not sure what he is referring to. If you can provide some more detail, what he tried to convey. And last question is about ILD price hike and rupee depreciation. Both of these factors are positive for our revenue growth this quarter. So can you provide some quantification of those benefit versus normal business growth? Thank you.
Sure. So Dipesh, Masivian's revenue for Q2 FY23 is about 562 million.
Sorry, I missed the number.
562 million in INR terms.
Okay.
For Mr. Messaging, it's 1720 million. Is that sufficient or you want for other entities?
No, that's fine.
Okay, fair enough. So your second query was on the optionality that we were talking about, right? So what is happening is, I think, in terms of the ESOP cost, right, the first year, the impact of the ESOP cost is the maximum. I think we are now past the 12 months. So going forward from the next quarter onwards, there would be a drastic reduction in the ESOP cost because it will reduce from 48% to almost 28% for the full year. So that is the extent of the reduction that will kind of play out. Sorry, what was the third query? I hope that addresses your query, Dipesh. What was the third point?
Third question was about ILD tariff hike and rupee depreciation benefit. If you can quantify those benefit versus usual business growth.
No, so ILD, because of the price increase, definitely there was benefit in terms of realization.
Gautam, I think we, Dipesh, we also buy in dollars and my customer also pays in dollars. So, I hope you are aware of this. For ILD.
No, that's okay. Fine, but when you...
So, Dipesh, sorry to intervene. So, Dipesh, so about 35% of our revenue is in dollars, 35% of the revenue is in euros. So, in a way, I mean, those things that settled off. In terms of the capital commitment that we have in terms of euros for Mr. Messaging will tend to benefit because of the depreciation of euro. But some amount of it will be offset by what we have to pay to Messivian in dollars. So net, if you look in terms of the capital commitment between Mr. Messaging and Messivian, we are net. We have a net euro exposure. So in a way, we'll benefit in terms of the capital commitment.
Understand. Maybe I can take it offline. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Moez Chandani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening and thank you for taking my question. My first question is on your revenue guidance of 60% revenue growth year on year. Now, so looking at H1, we've already grown at 94%. So in that sense, are we being a little conservative with our revenue guidance of 60% or are you expecting to see some slowdown over the next couple of quarters? Because even if our QOQ growth is flat, we should be able to comfortably exceed that guidance. So just wanted to...
60% is definitely a very good number, guidance, you know, like, so I think we want to stick with 60% and we are definitely have that, like, we as a team are looking forward to overachieve 60% also. But as far as the guidance is concerned, I think we want to stick with 60%.
Okay, understood. My second question was on the two acquisitions or two small tuck-in acquisitions that we are being planned. So could you give us a timeline on when we expect those acquisitions to be completed?
Yes, I think both the acquisition, we are still going through the due diligence process and right now it's under the process only. So as soon as we have the outcome of the diligence, I think then we can definitely share some data. But as of now, it may take some time. That's what we can tell you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Sethia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Vivek Sethia, could you please unmute your line and go ahead with your question?
Yeah, sure. Good evening to everyone. So my question, and I had a question, I just wanted to understand the breakup of the acquisition, Masivian, Intertelco and MRM. And just a follow-up on that, since your target is to achieve that 60% revenue growth. So could you break that up in terms of how much would be organic and how much would be from the acquisitions? Hello?
So I think from an organic standpoint, organic growth standpoint, I think we should be able to achieve a 25% to 30% growth rate, and balance we're looking at contribution from the acquired entities.
Okay, cool. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ajay Pal Singh from Asian Paints Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. My question is with respect to the revenue growth. We have been achieved 94% of the revenue for the YoY quarter Q2 growth. As I have seen, there is a number of MRN and MSN have been added, which is of 236 crore. What is the other aspect which has led to the increase in revenue and any major customer which we have added in the quarter and generated the revenue?
So Ajay, as I said,
will it be one-off or it will be continuation?
It will be continuation, Ajay. We have added few banks, we onboarded few banks, and those traffic started coming from last quarter. We are, as I said earlier also, there's a large OTT player we have signed, and we have now started servicing this customer for 13 countries. We are also working very closely with some of the large CPaaS player. That volume is also increasing. So there are multiple reasons, because of which our volumes are increasing, and it's a properly strategy we define that we want to work with everyone, especially with the CPaaS player also, and we want to support them rather than competing with them in various markets. So apart from that, I think banking customer and OTT player has contributed a lot along with our Masivian and Mr. Messaging.
Okay.
For the coming quarters as well.
Yeah. I'm hoping for the best results. One more thing, if I split the 94% of the growth rate, how much has been coming from the acquired entity's growth rate and how much is the normal business growth rate?
Gautam?
Yeah, so organic growth rate on a sequential basis was 20.6%. Balance is attributable to some of the acquisitions that we've done.
Okay, so 95% has been two parts, 20.6% is our organic, and the remaining 70% which is on YoY, which was not there in my...
So I'm talking about quarter on quarter, sequential growth.
No, YoY I'm talking about.
YoY, just give me a second. Yeah, 40% is the YoY organic growth rate.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saurav Kataruka. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. First of all, very happy Diwali and to the entire Route Mobile team. Sir, I have two main questions. You talked about margin improvement in future when new age technologies, WhatsApp, Viber, RCS gets more adoption, and that is something which we have been hearing for many quarters now. Based on your client interactions, what do you think is the reason for the slow adoption in these? And then second is, would you be, this is a request rather, can you present this breakup of new age technologies versus SMS growth or revenue split in the investor presentation from next time, maybe just like some of the software services firms report the digital growth?
Sorry, we already have
in the presentation.
Yeah, it's on slide 21, if you may refer to it.
Okay, I might have missed it. Another one, the second question is about call to connect. In Q2 FY22, you had told about a 1,000-seater facility addition, and I see the employee count in your investor presentation is 724. Does that include the call to connect employee count? And so, if that is the case, I mean, what is the current utilization of the 1,000-seater capacity? And the last small one, it is about the click-to-pay service which we had launched sometime around Q3 last year. Any traction in that? Yeah. Thanks. Those are the ones.
because this 700 plus employees completely for Route Mobile, and I think on Call to Connect we have a separate set of employees. That number, if Gautam has, he can share.
Yeah, around 200 odd employees.
No, no, Call to Connect.
200, rest are on contract. On payroll, it's about 200 odd employees for Call to Connect.
And overall, it would be more than 1500 if I'm not wrong.
That's right. And in terms of the utilization at this point in time, it's at running at a 50% utilization. So we were running at 300 seats and we've just got additional order of 200 seats right now. And there are some active pipelines that we have. Some of these, I think, should fructify in this quarter.
And on click-to-pay, is there any traction, anything you would like to highlight?
No, so yes. Click-to-pay... Sorry, Rajit, yeah, go on.
Oh, go ahead, Gautam.
Yeah, so click-to-pay, I think definitely there is some amount of traction. In fact, I think we've just deployed a conversational commerce platform with Coca-Cola in UAE, where they tried, tested our click-to-pay, but they had their own proprietary payment solution, which they integrated it. So we are kind of... taking it to clients at this point in time, nothing which is which warrants kind of highlighting it at this point in time, but we're seeing good traction on that as well from a 360 degree conversational commerce experience.
Okay. Thank you and congrats again for a good set of numbers.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohan Bupane, retail investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. First is, I've seen lately that people are using Google Authenticator and other apps to basically authenticate the program. And compared to the traditional SMS-based authentication, so what's your view on the impact on this on our business?
So not at all, Rohan. It is all about different use cases are arising based on the current requirement. Okay, SMS is still there. WhatsApp is still there. Most of the WhatsApp use cases are customer support as of now, which cannot be taken over by SMS. So I think because of the digital adoption ratio increasing day by day, there are various number of use cases are also coming arising, you know. So click to pay or I think Google... thing is that all new channel of communication which has a different use cases, and we don't see that as a, you know, like a competition to message SMS, but that will have a different use case and different customer set for that, you know.
So will we adapt to that style of authentication?
It's a customer choice to based on their customer the use case and choice, right? A customer, if the same customer is using four channel of communication including voice, SMS, email, and they may use Google Authenticator also, that is available, and that is available since very long time.
Okay, cool. Second question is regarding the buyback. Sorry if I'm wrong. I'm seeing that in the investor presentation, it has been clear that promoters have not participated in the buyback, right? But on the screener, I've seen that your stake has been increased a bit. So can you just clarify on this?
Sorry, can you please repeat your query?
I'm saying that in the buyback, promoters have not participated, right? But
yeah, in that was open market, that's right.
Yeah, but when I see the shareholding pattern, I can see that promoters have increased their shareholding in this quarter. So that's what I wanted to understand.
No, pursuant to the buyback, the shareholding of the promoters had increased, but thereafter there was a small block that was offered to a marquee investor. So that resulted in the resultant shareholding of the promoters marginally falling below their March shareholding.
Okay, cool. And I just have a last question on what's your view on macro environment and how you see that the recession and other issues will impact our business?
I think till now, I think we are largely present in emerging markets. We haven't seen too much of headwinds in terms of what is today happening in the developed markets. Plus, what is happening especially in markets like India, because of digitization, because of the initiatives by the government to digitize the economy. We've seen the micro transactions increase multiple times, and as CPaaS partners to enterprises, we tend to benefit out of the increased number of transactions. So per se, we haven't faced the heat that the developed markets are facing at this point in time. And yeah, so I think that is where we are right now. And for a lot of large OTT players from the US and even companies like Alibaba, TikTok, I mean, you name it, most of these companies, so largely from the US, the OTT players, they are looking at their growth coming from emerging markets, and hence we tend to be a big beneficiary.
Okay, cool. So thank you, sir, for answering my question, and a happy Diwali to the whole management.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mohana Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a great set of numbers. Just a quick question regarding the cost of messaging. I see that it's actually message service is actually shot up around 20% this quarter, which is much higher than the rest of the expenses that you guys are seeing. So any particular reason why that number is a little higher?
Sorry, which number you can you just repeat?
Purchase of messaging services. So it's up to about 657 versus 565 last quarter. That's grown a little higher.
It's a function of the increase in revenue as well, right? Revenue increased from 730 odd crores to 850 crores. So it's a function because
increased a little more than the revenue. So I just want to know.
No, so gross profit. So gross profit margin, if you were to plot it for both the quarters, it's around 22.4 and 22.3. So pretty much, I mean, it has been at par levels.
Got it. And just the second question regarding I know that you mentioned that you'd rather be conservative, but if you just look at the basic run rate from current levels, we're looking at second half is much stronger for you guys than the first half. If you're just looking at the current run rate, keeping this here, we are looking at around 70% growth. So would I be wrong if I'm modeling in close to 75-80% YOY growth?
So a small kind of a caveat there. I think definitely Diwali also actually has happened, and there's some of these festivities have actually happened in Q2 this time. So there is some amount of that has already played out in Q2. Notwithstanding that, I mean, we definitely believe Q3 and Q4 will be good. But I think we have already given a guidance of 60%. We would want to stick to it and ensure that we kind of outperform that number.
Just to follow up on that, you mentioned the Diwali aspect has already kicked in. So what do you mean by that, since, you know, we're still like almost a couple of weeks away, like Diwali is next week. So just trying to understand, you know, how has that played out in the last quarter?
Well, there are lots of sale. It's been already, I think it was there in last month, if you see, you know, like whether it's Amazon or sale for Flipkart and other, mm-hmm. like, so that's what Gautam is trying to mention.
Got it. No, sounds good. No, thank you very much. You know, hope you have guys on this even more successful next couple of quarters. Happy Diwali and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Yadav from Transient Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Apologies if the question is a bit repetitive because I joined the call a bit late. Sir, as you've been guiding previously, that we are trying for like 100, 200 basis point margin expansion every year, and that is the vision for the company. And although the revenue growth has been super and blockbuster to say, but on the margin front, even if you look at year on year, the margins have been flat to a bit negative at the operating level.
Yeah, I think we discussed this point earlier. So essentially what is happening is there are some large clients, right, where the revenues grows in multiples, and we service them across multiple geographies, and they happen to be, I mean, million dollar clients. I mean, over a period of time as we deepen our relationship with them, I mean, there are volume-based discounts, which essentially tends to be a drag on the overall portfolio margin. But the newer products, some of the acquisitions that we have done, which are doing tremendously higher gross margin, they tend to offset it. And hence, while the gross profit margin has remained at 21-22%, but in terms of the operating leverage that flows in terms of the EBITDA margin expansion, that actually should, and from our perspective, we look at it from a return on capital employed perspective. So for servicing some of these large multi-million dollar clients, we don't need to tend to incur too much of operating overheads. So whatever we are able to generate in terms of gross profit flows directly to the EBITDA and hence leads to tremendous a higher ROC.
If it goes down to the EBITDA, then obviously the margin should expand, no? And as you are saying, see, okay, sometimes you have with certain clients, with larger clients, there's a bit of...
So that's some amount of cost impact on the EBITDA margin has been because of the front loading of the ESOP cost.
What I'm saying is over year on year, these things should normalize a bit and we should see some kind of expansion in the margin.
So Aditya, exactly what we are trying to say from last 1 hour, that new product is something what we all are focusing right now. As on when the adoption of new channel will happen and more customer will be onboarded for the new channel, our margin will expand for sure, and the kind of guidance we have given in the market that we have the aspiration to grow our GP in the range of 25-30%, and we are working towards that.
And the short term goals also, which you discussed, the 120 basis point expansion every year, that also remains.
Yeah, we've already called out, I think, as part of our guidance, 100 to 150 basis points improvement in our EBITDA margin. So that should play out. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. My side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anil Nada, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is that these new channels like WhatsApp and all, have they been able to make significant volumes to reach a couple of percentage of the overall revenue so far?
Yes, indeed, Anilji, because we do see we are already onboarding lots of customers on WhatsApp as we speak, and not only on WhatsApp but on Viber as well as on other channels. Hello,
I lost you.
Can you repeat it? I think I answered you, but if you...
I'm sorry, maybe I'm having an issue at my end. I will go through the transcript. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, and wish you all a very happy Diwali and prosperous New Year as well. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.